today on Real Radio.
I love the fact, and it's embarrassing in a weird way. It's certainly humbling. But when God gives to you and me and blesses us even when we don't deserve it. And actually, the fine print is, when do you and I really deserve God's blessings and kindness? We don't, do we? He's just good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 1, begins in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, with verses 14 through 23. We've all heard the challenge to put your money where your mouth is, but when it comes to practical Christianity, it might be a better idea to say, put your money where your faith is. The Apostle Paul says goodbye to the church at Philippi, praising them for their giving. He goes on to share how God will supply all their needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the Philippian believers shared in Paul's distress out of love and concern for his welfare. And you know, when we give towards others out of love and concern, we're also eternally wealthy in the things of God. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the power of giving puts us where the action is. When we give our support to the ministry, we're granted immediate access to the work of God, and there's deep satisfaction in knowing that we've helped others in their time of need. And now, in his lesson called The Power of Giving, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And we're looking at the message that's entitled The Power of Giving. Paul says goodbye to the church at Philippi, and he exalts them and thanks them and praises them for their giving. And there's power in that. We all know about that. There's power in giving. Listen, love is giving. Kindness is giving. Acts of endearment are acts of giving. We're a giving people as a nation because of our Judeo-Christian values. As Christians, we are a giving people because our God is giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Our God is a generous God. He's amazing. I love the fact, and it's embarrassing in a weird way. It's certainly humbling. But when God gives to you and me and blesses us even when we don't deserve it. And actually, the fine print is, when do you and I really deserve God's blessings and kindness? We don't, do we? He's just good. We've all heard the challenge, by the way, to put your money where your mouth is. It's a popular saying. But regarding Christianity, it would be more practically said for us to put our money where our faith is. Now, we mention money because Paul's going to mention money, and in this church, we don't like to talk about money. We just don't do it. Over the course of 25 years, we've probably had 3 or 4 sermons on money because it was regarding the context or the verse that we were passing through in their Bible. Everything that God has done in this church from the first day of the home Bible study with the Folgers, remember Folgers? Folgers coffee can with a plastic lid, a little slit in the top. We've never lacked for coffee and donut money. We've always operated within our means, and everything this church has ever done has been cash. By God's grace, God has been generous to us. We owe no man anything. We're debt-free as a church. It's always been that way, and that frees us up to allow us to get the gospel out. It frees us up to help people stay in their homes. It helps people recover from issues and stuff of life that by no other means they have help. But you do that. And I'm grateful for that. I believe it's a great thing in the Christian church that we, as much as possible, take it off the shoulders of the government, which I think is an offense. There should be no welfare system in America. The church in America should be the welfare system. The government should say, church, go love on people like your Jesus said to do, and free up the government from doing that stuff. The church ought to be all over the place, from the streets of LA to the greatest places possible. The church should be present. We're very familiar with the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, Verse 19, when Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, that's easy to do. And to some sense, we all do that to a point. I'm not saying in a bad way. I'll explain that more in a moment. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, things to trust in on earth. Don't trust in them, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He'll go on to teach us, but rather lay up our treasures in heaven. What God gives us in this life, we are to steward over. We're to manage for the glory of God. And look, I don't want to be quoted out of context here, so don't take this little clip and use it to some weirdness here. It's just too bad because of God's people being so immature when it comes to money that God can't bless more of his people with more money because they would be able to handle it rightly and use it for the glory of God. It's pretty sad that the world's got all the bucks. If God's people would get smart and realize that money in the hand of a Christian is a tool, it's not money, it's a tool, that maybe God would begin to bless us more because we would be conduits of receiving it and then using it to bless other people and get things done for the kingdom's glory. Paul's closing remarks echoes that very truth. And with a benediction, the great apostle directs his attention to the believers at Philippi with an overriding fact regarding the Father heart of God. And sneak ahead for a moment. It's the theme from this portion from verses 14 to 23. Verse 19, circle it, highlight it, mark it down if you would. It's what drives his closing remarks. He says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's some awesome technical terms. Let me read it to you this way. And my, notice my God, that word means who has provided, listen, who has provided himself to be my personal possession of experience. When Paul says my God, he is saying what I'm telling you in closing, church at Philippi. My God has proven to me to be the one to supply all that I've ever needed regarding my experience in serving him. In serving Christ, God provided everything. Church, listen, you want to find God's provision? Serve him. You want to see God move radically? Devote yourself to him. Paul is saying emphatically, my God. He's taking personal ownership. This is bold. He's taking personal ownership of the God of heaven and earth. And he's saying, this is the reason why. My God, in context, he's provided for me everything I've ever needed. If you and I have anything to complain about and gripe about because we don't have the Ferrari or we don't have the sailboat or we don't have the airplane, it's probably because God spared you from that thing messing you up. If you have a Ferrari, if you have an airplane or a boat, use it to the glory of God. And remember, it's not yours anyway. Neither is my 67 Volkswagen. I love it, but it's true. Some of you drove by my house yesterday because you honked and waved at me and I was waxing my little car. Even that little thing, I've had it since I was 19 years old. I got to be careful because it can be a little idle. You see, Jack, it's a Volkswagen for crying out loud. I know, but when I find myself parking out and away from other vehicles for fear of somebody might dent it, it's an idol. And I try to justify it by saying I'm being a good steward over a little family heirloom there, but whatever you have, you're to possess to the glory of God. And then he goes on in verse 19, and by the way, this is not the Bible study, this is the introduction to the Bible study. He says that my God shall supply. The word means will never fail. Whatever Paul is talking about that we're going to learn about, he never fails in providing it. And notice this. It's the supply, meaning to imbue, to drench, to saturate. I love this word. Listen, it means to steep. When's the last time you heard this word, steep? Steep, with a P, steep. It means to take the tea bag and to put it in the hot water and let it soak. Why do you do that? Look, there's no fun in heating up hot water, dropping a tea bag in and drinking it down. You get nothing out of it. What does it mean to steep? You put the boiling water in the pot and you put the tea bag in there and you let it sit for at least 5 minutes. Because why? Because what's in the bag comes out in its intensity, and then you get to ingest it. Notice what he's saying here, that God's supply in your life is to be something that completely permeates your life. You can trust God to do that. And look, it's his riches. What does that mean? This is hard to believe. Look, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to come up here with great faith in front of you. And I got to tell you right now, this is hard to believe. I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't know if I have this level of faith. I'm working on it. And that word supply means everything that Christ owns is the believer's. That's big. Steep in that for a while. And he says, look, it's in glory by, brought to you by, and this program brought to you by, right? Powered by, right? Well, your Christianity is powered by Jesus. It's by Jesus. These promises, this declaration, verse 19, is only as good as Christ lives. And thank God he lives forever. So Paul the Apostle is saying in our modern day tongue, perhaps this way, to the Philippians, just as you provided for me out of your generosity and love, even so God will provide for you out of his generosity and love. Philippians 4, verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you've shared in my distress. He's thanking them. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me according to giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, and that was an awesome church, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Wow, missionary-minded church. He's saying he was serving in Thessalonica, but the Philippian church underwrote the ministry outreach. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, he was the messenger, he was the FedEx agent for them, the things you sent from you. A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now to God, our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. And especially those who are of Caesar's household. That's awesome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, he says, amen. Today, church, we look at verses 14 to 16, and the power of giving is shown to us by this fact. It puts us where the action is, and I absolutely love what this means. The most amazing thing, as I mentioned to you guys last week, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those three gospels, one out of every six verses either deals with money or the stewardship of resources. That's important. 29 parables out of them all, 16 of them deal with man and his management of his wealth and what God has provided him. Luke 16, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Isn't that amazing? Notice that all of our strife and division and angst comes between us, God, and money. In our culture, value, mammon, the god mammon. It doesn't. In America, it's dollars or gold or silver. In other countries, it would be something else. If you're living in the jungles of South America, it wouldn't be dollars. It would be monkeys or pigs that provide, that grant you or display your wealth. So it's quite amazing. So here we go in our first attempt at this today. The power of giving puts us where the action is in verse 14 to 16. The first thing that we see is displayed in verse 15, and that is it grants us immediate access. I'm very passionate about what we're going to talk about. I believe in this strongly. When he says, now you Philippians, I want to say, now you Chino Hillians, are you wherever you're from, but you make up this church. You know also that in the beginning of the gospel, from the going forth of the gospel, listen, when you Philippians heard it, now it's personal. In other words, the first time I came to Macedonia and preached the gospel in Philippi, when you heard it, you were transformed. Something happened, the gospel got a hold of you, and it changed the way that you thought about life and your entire worldview. He says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The terms that he uses are remarkable terms right here. They're banking terms. They're investment terms from the first century. The words shared, concerning, giving, receiving, all of them were used in the economy of the Roman Empire. They're all accounting terms. And so the Philippians, he is announcing to them, listen, thank you for giving financial support, and it started the moment you heard the gospel. Now, you and I have got to fight this. It's in my mind, and I'm going to share it, and maybe I'm the only one in the room because I despise this stuff. When we see the gospel being preached, but the only way for it to continue on is if you give money, I find that incredibly offensive. God can use Balaam's donkey. The Bible says in the future he's going to use angels to fly through the midst of heaven. God does not need our money. What God invites us to do is to enter into the work and to transform those dollars and coins to tools. I mentioned this to you several weeks ago. Tools is what the Christian is supposed to use. We don't have money. A church doesn't have money. It has tools to affect the culture, to reach out to others, to advance the gospel. And he's saying your lives were changed. The Philippian church was clearly a missions-minded church. Three ways. They must have seen the spiritual benefits to the preaching of the gospel. Think of it. Did you hear that? They must have seen the spiritual benefits to the preaching of the gospel. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? I believe you do believe that. You guys, your generosity, and predominantly Wednesday nights, I don't know if you know this or not, but Wednesday nighters, their tithes and offerings, 100% of their offerings go to the advancement of the gospel. It's just the way it's been designated. What does that mean? The gospel goes out every day from this pulpit. What is happening? God's people, you, responding to the going forth of the gospel, and lives are being changed. I tell you what, we ought to create some post site, some blog thing, so you can see the returns of your investment. Now, I know that you're going to see that in heaven. You're going to meet the people. I was at a wedding last night. Spectator. It was awesome to be at a wedding and not be doing it. And sitting there in this church, and this young lady turns around. I said something to my granddaughter, and she turned around. She looked at me, and she looked at me kind of weird looking. She just goes like this. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Anyway, whatever. And then at the end of the wedding, she said, I recognized your voice. My family listens to you in Dallas, Texas. Listen, you guys, that's because of you. The gospel's going out. And Paul thanked them, and I want to thank you. We're in this together. And in the end, the awesome thing about it, it's not Wall Street, it's not Main Street, it's God's street, that in the end, we're going to see the results of what we're doing. Has the gospel meant so much to you? And I know I'm preaching to the choir, that it has transformed your values. Another thing I'm realizing is that it grants us immediate access when we give to what's going on with God, is the fact that they physically supported Paul in his mission outreach. And that is an awesome, wonderful thing. and you support missionaries all over the world. And they're blessed by you, and you haven't even met some of them. By doing this, by giving, by caring, he's letting the Philippian believers understand that they have immediate access into the priesthood, as it were, of ministry. When you give, if it's a nickel or if it's a million, God doesn't care. When it comes from the heart of you wanting to reach others and bless other people, you enter into the ministry. You have immediate access. You're in the ministry. And I think that's an awesome delight. I mentioned this last time. I want to say this again, that, of course, there's no greater example that Jesus gave regarding us and giving is that he gave of himself, and he gave of his time, and he gave of his effort, and of course he gave of his life. But I mentioned this, that moms and dads, we all need, and grandmas and grandpas, I have to add, because that's where I'm at now, is we gotta teach our little ones, I think three key things, is to teach them that they ought to give to God from their earliest ages. And remember I mentioned to you last time that they ought to be given a task? Give your kids a task. If it's raking the leaves or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just give them a task. If it's just, you know, put the cat food in the bowl. It's not the, you might say, well, they should be doing it anyway. I agree with you on that. But you know what? I'm trying to make a point here, and I'm trying to create a culture, and that is that they would be a giving people. Your little ones would be a giving people. I've shared with you guys before that when I got saved at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, I was making really good money at a ridiculous young age. And I looked around the church, and it's completely fine. And I thought, well, these guys don't need my money. Really what I was saying is, I don't need my money either, but I've got enough saved up. And the more I save up, the more I want to hang on to it. And the more I saw my account growing, the less I would spend. That's a sickness, ladies and gentlemen. And then I met my wife. And she had, from the earliest ages, Anaheim First Baptist Church, she had grown up giving. And when the plate went by at Calvary Costa Mesa in giving on our first Sunday morning date, the plate just went right by. And she looked at me and she goes, what did you do? What are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you didn't put anything in there. And I said, look around. This place doesn't need my money. I thought we were going to break up right then. She let me have it. She was 18 years old. She read me up one side and down the other on the awesomeness of God. I'm telling you now. Listen, this is a serious issue. And we would say to ourselves, well, I can't afford to give. And some old great saint, I believe it was Harry Ironside, had made mention, my dear friend, I can't afford not to give. And I want you to understand, that's why I prefaced it earlier. I'm not asking you to give to this church. Find a ministry that honors God and give. There's a lot of them out there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have such a heart towards God that you give knowing that your salvation is in Christ. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of Pastor Jack's big passions is Bible prophecy, and we're having some special events coming up called the His Coming Bible Prophecy Facebook Live events. Pastor Jack's going to be on Facebook Live Wednesday nights once a month starting September 20th, also October 25th and November 15th. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And find out more about the His Coming Bible Prophecy Facebook Live events. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.